Welcome to part two of our conversation with Stephen Williams about crossing over to the other side. How does that work? Because if they're crossed over and they're mm-hmm. moved on to another place, and you say that she comes back and she's left some gifts for him, are they able right. to cross back and forth from time to time to make visits and give little gifts like that?
Yeah, you get just like you get a hall pass. So when you're earthbound, you're basically stuck. You're mired in that situation, like you're in the closet, the fire's going on, you don't know where, you know, you don't know what's going on, or you're doing the laundry over and over and over. But once you transition, it's again, it's like an awareness, an increase in your awareness, mm-hmm. in your vibration. And it's once they make that transition and they get into that higher vibration, higher frequency, they can travel back and forth if they choose to do so. And it happens immediately, because the first time we had a spirit crossover, it was an older lady who was watching over her son who was mentally challenged, mentally handicapped. And so we did some counseling with her. I was working with a different medium and told her that she could help him better if she went ahead and released and transitioned and got into that higher vibration. And she thought about it, and then finally she did, and I could feel her vibration increase. And my thought at the time was, when someone made that transition, probably there was some healing that had to take place, or maybe some education. But she came back immediately, which really shocked me. And then she took him with her, and they both, you know, they both left that earthbound condition and made that transition. So yeah, it can happen very quickly.
My question, and this is probably opinion-based, but I wonder what mm-hmm. your answer is when they're coming to and from, where are they going to and from, you know, from or to? Where is the other that they are traveling to when they're not making their return visits?
Well, you know, I think they're in an energetic form, so it's, I don't know if it's a place or if it's just a dimensional being type mm-hmm. thing. I don't know. They don't really talk about that or describe it that much, but I know that there are opportunities. My dad passed a couple of years ago, and we have a really good friend here in the Memphis area who's a fantastic medium, and she works with people who want to connect with their loved ones on the other side. And I had a reading with her, and my dad came through, and she didn't know anything about my dad at all, and he was someone who could, if he imagined something in his mind, he could pretty much build it. Mm-hmm. And the message he gave her was that he was studying architecture. So there must be schools, there must be places where you can kind of imagine your own reality and create your own reality. But I think it's all energetic, you know, thought type stuff. Whether it's a physical existence, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I guess we will not know that till we get there, right?
I just try and ask these questions to individuals,
sure.
just because it's like, let's take the conversation to another place of just, you know, what's your opinion on this after having thought about these things for so many years? It's always interesting mm-hmm. to hear different perspectives on things that we obviously, I don't expect you to, here's the end all be all. I'd be pretty scared if you said, here's exactly what happens, and no matter what anyone else says, they're wrong. Like, okay, this is that's a scary
there
interview.
Are no experts. I mean, exactly. I can only speak from my experience and what I'm told through yep. mediums and you
sure.
know, the connections I make with spirits who have transitioned. But yep. you know, it's kind of like maybe there's some of this we're not supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of hidden from us.
Sure.
Maybe that makes it more, you know, more exciting when you get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's not a place, again, I don't think. I think it's more like an awareness type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fog is lifted even yeah. further, and you're, you know, you become, the way I understand it, you become more a part of the whole, the oneness, but mm-hmm. you still have some individualization mm-hmm. To your existence.
Sure. So, you had mentioned yeah. in that email that the homeowner had a communication with Lily, this at the time earthbound child spirit, come through his mm-hmm. cell phone prior to your arrival there. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's the experience where he went into the closet.
Okay.
And she called him on the phone.
Okay. Okay.
And he held up the three fingers.
Yeah, okay, that was
he
that.
Told
okay.
us that story. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That guy needs to write a book, because he has had all kinds of he attracts spirits to him, and he also has had a lot of ET type experiences where people see craft above his house and things like that. So, you know, I think sometimes there's a correlation between between those types of energy experiences. So I don't know. I've never seen a craft or anything or had experiences with ETs, but I've had quite a few clients over the years who have. There's been a lot of crossover for some people.
Do you think that spirits are now using more of our technology to try and communicate more than they ever could in the past? Because number one, it didn't exist, but more so in a way like this, where he got the call in the closet. It wasn't an investigator in there with some sort of tool that's been rigged up to try and communicate with the dead, but just through ordinary everyday things that people have in their homes, whether it be a cell phone or hell, the microwave. Just objects that now exist that are electronic. Are you finding that you're hearing more cases of things like that acting, you know, quote unquote, weird when there's a haunting going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, they can very easily manipulate anything that's electronic because they are in energetic form. So they can turn lights on and off. They can turn TVs on and off and that kind of thing. But I was just in a house in Memphis, well, down in Mississippi or rather just south of Memphis on Sunday. And they had actually had messages come across their TV.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and it was very personalized. It referred to names in their family. And they were basically getting messages through their television as somebody was typing it. So that was pretty amazing.
How was
I didn't witness that, but they told me about it.
When the way they described it, how was this appearing on the television?
It was like they said, like if Yahoo or something like that, there was a search box that came up, and then somebody would type in it.
Okay, I understand. And obviously that's something that exists on televisions now, so that can easily be manipulated.
Now, there were several energies in the house. I mean, of course, if somebody told me a story like that and I went into the house and I wasn't able to pick up on anything or there wasn't any interaction on any equipment, then I would say, well, maybe there's something else to this. But, yeah, there was definitely several energies in that house, so.
We've talked quite a bit about child spirits on this episode. Mm-hmm. Do, and this is an opinion question, because I've heard both ways from the thousands of stories that I've heard over the years on both of our programs, Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks, and they contradict each other, as most things in this world do. But what I'm wondering about is your opinion. Do spirits age? Do children's spirits age after death?
What I've been told is they grow up on the other side or in that higher vibrational awareness. There is a little spirit girl who I encountered in St. Augustine, Florida in 2006. Her name is Alice. And that was pretty much my first profound psychic mediumship type experience that I ever had in my life. And I was on vacation down there with my daughter. And we were on our last night before we had to come back home. And there's, I don't know if you've been to St. Augustine, there's a cemetery called Tolomato Cemetery. It's the Catholic cemetery behind the town. And there's a little house next to it. So we were riding our bikes past the cemetery on the way back to the old inn that we were staying in. And I just knew I had to stop in that alley. And I knew there was a little girl there. I knew what she looked like, what she was wearing, what her name was. Had an EMF meter with me. And as I made a statement, like I would say, you're a little girl, right? She would interact with the equipment and validate what I was picking up on. So I knew that she was there. We had to go back to Memphis, but I got invited to speak at a conference down there. And that was in July. We were on vacation. And in September, I was invited to come back to St. Augustine and speak at a conference about EVPs. And so the first place I went was to that house when I, you know, got back down there, and she was still there. She would interact with me. I met a medium during the conference. Her name is Linda, and she was on an episode of Psychic Kids. She's a really gifted medium, and I didn't tell her anything about this little girl. And as we were walking from downtown St. Augustine back to our hotel, I made a point to walk past this house, and as we got close to the house, she looked over and said, "Oh, there's two girls in the porch there, spirit girls." Mm-hmm. And she described this little girl perfectly. And then there was the older girl with this Alice. The other girl's name was Susan. I hadn't picked up on her. But so the next night, Linda went back and helped Alice transition, release. And actually, there's an EVP on our website where you'll hear me walking towards that house and calling for Alice. She doesn't respond because she had crossed. But when I asked for Susan, she did answer me. So apparently she decided not to cross at that time. But anyway, after that, Alice started to appear around me. And mediums could see her. I could feel her energy. And they describe her as having like this golden glow around her. So she actually helps us when we do spirit rescues, when we're working with child spirits. She will pop in, and she's like a real pure, innocent energy. So they are very comfortable, and it kind of takes away their fear. And she'll help them connect with their loved ones. So she's a helper. She's a rescue who rescues.
Do you ever have experiences where you're trying to do a spirit rescue and help someone cross over to the other side? And obviously the carrot would be for most of us, a loved one or someone that is there to say, "Hey, I'm over here too." And suddenly they're able to see that or understand that. Do you ever have it where they're on the other side and you're trying to help them cross over, but there's no carrot there. There is no loved one. There's no other person. There's no other spirit or soul that's there to help them move into that, you know, light is the word that's always used, but into that next, right, that next vibration level or that next place. And I would imagine that would be scary if there's no one there and you're just kind of having to do this on your own free will or the suggestion of the random human being who is suddenly in your environment that's on the living side telling you, "It's cool, go ahead, do it." Right. You know, without the other, without the other influence there. Do you ever run into that sort of an experience?
Well, again, that's where our allies on the other side help us. So in the beginning, what I used to do, because I've been doing spirit rescue work for 13 years. In the beginning, I used to call in a certain higher vibrational energy, archangel type energy, and ask them to bring the perfect loved one, because you don't know if the spirit you're working with had a good relationship with their parents, mm-hmm, or their children, or maybe they were a loner. They didn't like anybody.
Sure.
And Sometimes instead of bringing a person, they'll bring a pet.
Okay.
They might bring the person's dog that they loved when they were children. We had one guy, they brought a horse because he was like a cowboy kind of guy, and his horse was his, you know, constant companion. But there's a lot of, they'll bring the perfect, now it just happens automatically. I don't even have to ask for it. They just, the perfect person always shows up. It might be a friend, might be a boy, old boyfriend or girlfriend or something like that. And, but there's a lot of psychology. So if the person is really not looking to connect with anybody, sometimes you have to find out what their likes and dislikes are. There was one time we were working with a guy who was, he was an alcoholic, and he had tragically killed his fiance in a drunk driving accident. He had a lot of regret and shame. And we finally broke through and helped him release all of that. And then, He still wanted to have his drink, though, you know, occasionally. So we told him there's an endless tap on store for him, and he liked that. Another guy we worked with one time had built a house, and he was so proud of his creation and the house that he had built that he didn't want anybody else living in that house, and he wasn't going to leave that house. And we talked to him and said, you know, you can build the most wonderful house you can possibly imagine if you just let this go and, you know, go ahead and take the next step. And once he heard that, he was ready, because he already had it in mind. So there's a lot of psychology involved in it too. You just have to find out what their hopes and desires and regrets are and help them release that that's holding them here, and then point them, you know, towards better things.
when we're talking about spirits and how they sometimes are able to conjure up the energy to make themselves known to those who are not on the sensitive scale or are not in touch with that part of themselves, all the way to the point where, for example, handprints are left on a foggy mirror or even sometimes far beyond that, where the average individual is able to see this manifestation of a spirit there in front of them. How is it that at certain times are able to conjure up that much energy to make themselves known, and other times they are not? Are they even in control of that sort of aspect of their existence, or does it just kind of come and fade and go, in your opinion? And sometimes we see them, sometimes they don't. They're not necessarily flipping a switch going, you're going to see me now, and other times they're not.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a matter of how much energy they have available to use to manifest. I've seen two full-bodied apparitions in the 18 years that I've been investigating, and one was in that same house where I first started feeling the tingling sensation out in the slave quarters. So this was in the main house, and we used to teach workshops to train paranormal investigators. And we were doing our first workshop many years ago, and about 30 minutes from the workshop, I noticed some movement in the hallway. I turned and looked, and there was this really beautiful, looked like she's about 18, 20-year-old girl, dressed in a big hoop skirt, had her hair up in a bun, really pretty. You could see her features clearly, and she was, I'll never forget it. It was a wonderful sight, and the dress had like burgundy and gold, and it was sparkly. If you really looked, you could see through her slightly. And so she just floated past the hallway, the doorway there, towards the front door. And we had young guys from Missouri had come down for a workshop. And I turned and looked at them, and one of them had seen her. His mouth was wide open. So I saw her. My partner, who was standing beside me doing a presentation, saw her, and that young guy saw her. And when she was coming down the hallway, one of our other team members was in the adjacent room, and the way she manifested and she was drawing energy at that point, she was like a swirly black cloud. So she was drawing energy from the environment, maybe from us, I don't know what, but by the time she got from that doorway down to where we could see her, she had fully manifested. Mm-hmm. So I think they have to draw from the environment and to do that. The other time I saw a full-body apparition was I was alone in a house. Family moved out, gave me permission to spend the night in the house, and I was in there during a raging thunderstorm. So there was plenty of energy mm-hmm. available. And this little girl looked like she's about 6 or 7 years old, ran past the doorway in the house after the power went off. So she was drawing, I think, the energy from the storm itself. And she was fully manifested. She was giggling as she ran past the doorway. I'll never forget that side either. So I think they learn, if they're skilled, they learn how to draw energy from different sources to manifest. But the reason I mentioned the girl that was a swirly black mass, if people will see something like that, they think it's negative or dark or whatever. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it's just a spirit trying to manifest. These shadow people, maybe they're just kind of that people talk about seeing, and I've seen a few myself. I just think that a lot of times they just don't have the energy source enough to fully manifest and show you what they look like.
Yeah, that's one that I always hear a lot of interesting opinions on, and quite often from non-investigators saying, oh, it's a shadow person. It must be evil. It must be dark. And my opinion on it is it's just kind of a someone or something that's trying to manifest itself but doesn't have enough energy to do so. That doesn't necessarily mean it's bad or it's good or it really is.
I'm on the same page with you there, Tony. Absolutely.
It's there. It's not a definition. It's color. The way that it's appearing has nothing to do with its intent. It's just it's its current right. energy level more than anything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm lucky enough with my sensations around my crown chakra. I don't know if my guides have mapped it out for me, if it's just the way I was born. But again, if I feel on the right side's masculine, left side feminine, if I feel it going down the back of my neck, that is dark energy. And so I can walk into someone's home and tell immediately if they've got anything like that in the house. Or anywhere I am, it doesn't matter where I am. If I feel that, a lot of times I'll call on my helper's on the other side and just ask them to take it away.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I don't mess around with that and I don't deal with it. I have had cases where people have used Ouija boards and done spells and things like that and heard gravelly voices come out of people's mouths and stuff. But it's not, our focus is on helping earthbound spirits. Mm-hmm. So that's our intent. And I think our guides work in the background to steer us towards those types of cases.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Stephen Williams about crossing to the other side. Be sure to find out more about Stephen and his group's work at MemphisGhostInvestigations.com. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening and thanks for the support.